Thanks for listening to Fluff and Crunch, where we talk about the connection and sometimes disconnect between system, setting, and story in tabletop RPGs. All right, let's get a rolling.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Jeremy.
All right. So we're a little warmed up now. This is good. Have you done any gaming in the last week?
Haven't done any role playing because we couldn't all get together, but I've done some minis gaming. Scott came over last week and played one of the Warhammer miniatures games. And then me and Brian played, I think me and Brian might have played Monday and yesterday because he was off. So, I've done a lot of minis gaming, but not any role playing. I think that'll be because we've got 2 weeks for Easter, spring break, as right. You would call it. Then I imagine we'll be back into our weekly games. How about you?
We had our second session in book two of Castles and Crusades Kingmaker, and we experienced the advantage of, or we're about to experience rather, the advantage of having a five-player party, because I'm going to be down one player this week and then down a different player the week after that. And it's great because when you have this, Kingmaker has this baked-in assumption that from book two onward, the player characters are going to be spending some of their time doing, you know, adventure stuff and some of their time doing kingdom management stuff. Like there are going to be things that are going to be happening off stage that are persistent. And so when you're down a player, you can say, like, for example, the one player who's going to be gone this week and her character, you know, she's just going to go take care of some kingdom business stuff.
Yeah.
While the other ones ride around and check in on some things in their lands, and we'll swap that next week. So it's very, very convenient, but that is moving along, and we'll do some more exploration. We did some more exploration, and I had some NPCs and some places, excuse me, and some issues that I rolled out to them to help establish more persistent parts of the plot that are part of the backdrop. So that's one of the nice things about a sandbox in one place is that as they move around and they meet different people who I know are going to be around or are representative of groups that are going to be around. Like one of the things in Kingmaker that's frankly, I think that Paizo did not do a very good job of really explaining and foreshadowing well is the role of and the place of the Fae in this big forest. And it's something that, like, by book six, they're like, oh, here's this big thing the Fae are doing. And I'm like, yeah, that would have been really great if you would have been more clear about that, so I could have foreshadowed it better and more effectively over time. You know, and how they used to publish these things, the books came out over time, so you didn't have the whole thing to look at once. So I'm playing up more of this Fae stuff earlier so that it doesn't surprise them as some like thing I just shoehorned into the game later if I choose to go that route. So it's nice to have that opportunity. So that's what we did. So that went well. It was good stuff.
All right. So today, you can probably tell from the screen.
Yep.
Jeremy wants to talk about the 2D20 World Builders program.
I do.
And not just talk about it, not just have a rant or say nice things about it. You did some homework.
I did. So really quickly, if you're not that familiar with it, people had talked for, you know, in short, and you can see the drive-through thing down at the bottom of Chris's screen. You know, 2D20 World Builders is a community licensing program that Modiphius has put out that allows people like yours truly and others to publish on Drive-Thru RPG and make some money using the 2D20 system that we can modify. So
or in my case, not make money, but be first. Bit like
we will
Neil
never
Armstrong.
Be able to take that away from you.
Yes, you Neil were Armstrong first. Was first, and so was I.
That's right. But going back in time, I remember for a while, actually, people in like Facebook groups and people on Twitter were talking up and on Modiphius's discussion boards, talking up the idea, hey, is there ever going to be an SRD for 2D20? Yeah. And they said they were going to. Anyway, long story short, in late 2022, The SRD was released.
Yep.
If I'm remembering the timing correctly, they released like the 200 some odd page SRD, and then they said that there would be guidelines, or you know, the rules for community publishing would be forthcoming. The rules for community publishing came out in early 2023, detailing how you could go about doing this, what the limitations were, and then shortly thereafter, there were some other things that Modiphius did, like events and such, related to the World Builders program. So now World Builders has been up and live. Things have been up there for purchase and available for over a year. And so I thought that it would make sense, thought it'd be interesting, because I've put a bunch of stuff up there, we've done a review. We did an episode a while back where we reviewed three different games that other people, full games that other folks had put up. I reached out to people who had published things through World Builders and seeking their feedback in the form of an anonymous survey, semi-anonymous, because I asked what games they produced, so that made it pretty obvious. So I guess that's not anonymous at all. But I had several people respond, and I really wanted to inform my opinions of it, and I mean yours as well, obviously, like what do we think of it, how it works, this, that, the other. And so I thought it would be useful to talk about it because this obviously has a lot to do with, you know, what kinds of things are available and how people from a hobby angle can publish and not have to come up with their own system and things like that. If you don't know, if you haven't looked into it, if you go to Modiphius, and I'll put links to all the places you'd need to look at this. Modiphius has, you know, they've got the SRD that you can download. They have logos like that 2D20 World Builders and the Modiphius. They have all those logos that you can download to put in your products. They have templates that you can either use or recreate. And then they have a huge, huge, actually, art pack for Octone Cthulhu. So if you want to do Octone Cthulhu stuff, which you can use a lot of their stock art. And it's art from the Call of Cthulhu version. It looks to me, I don't own any of those books, but it looks to me like they just piled up a huge chunk, if not all of the art from that era of the game, and just made it all available, which is terrific. And last thing I'll say, just as a piece of like objective description of this program, when you publish on the World Builders program, all sales, the author gets 50%, and then the other 50% is split unevenly between Modiphius and Drive-Thru. One of them gets 30% and one of them gets 20%. And off the top of my head, I don't remember which, but since I'm not getting that money, I don't really care in terms of their split. Point is that the author of the material gets half of the sales. So let's go ahead and talk about it.
Well, before we go any further, but that I know one exception to that is pretty standard of all of the stuff that I've written, other community content type stuff for, does that. So everything on Dungeon Martyrs Guild was 50%.
Okay.
The stuff I did way back in the day for Cortex, that was 50%. I think, but I could be wrong about this, I think the only place I know of that isn't that is, I think if you do stuff for Savage Worlds, I think you get 60%. Which I think is Pinnacle basically taking a hit on that.
Okay.
So it's not like they drive through gets less. They take less. But okay. As far as I know, basically everything else, like Dungeon Master Guild was the first one, they do 50%. Everything else, as far as I know, is pretty much is you take 50%. Because I think drive through is, I'm pretty sure it's drive through takes 30.
Yeah, I think so.
And Modiphius gets 20. So like I said, Savage Worlds, I think Pinnacle only actually take 10% of whatever you do.
Interesting.
And you get to keep 60. I could be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure. I just remember reading when they launched theirs, thinking, oh, look, they're doing theirs differently.
That's a great piece of context because that issue came up in my questionnaire and I, you know, had conversations with other creators in this program about that. And there are, you know, people have different feelings about and thoughts about the 50%. But it's interesting to note that that's basically the standard that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, Drive-Thru is doing the, you know, most of that chunk. If you released something not through World Builders or another community program and just put it on Drive-Thru, I'm pretty sure Drive-Thru still take 30%.
So, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that whole, like, if you just create your own system and try to plant your flag on drive-thru, what does that add up to? But how do we want to talk through this? Like I said, I did this survey. Do we want to talk about that first, or would you rather...
No, I think you need to, talk about the survey. Talk about some of the results that people have thrown at you, some of the things that people have said.
Okay, so in the survey, I asked if people had produced things, and, you know, obviously the folks who responded, yeah, they had actually put things up there. And if you go on the 2D20 World Builders page on DriveThru, you'll see that there are a handful of authors who have done multiple things. Those are the people who responded to the survey. So those are the games that were represented on this. I asked them how satisfied they were with the amount of money they were making. In other words, like, how satisfied were they with their sales? And it's about, most people were satisfied. As a matter of fact, there was the minority of only 20% were, you know, really disappointed, and 20% were not satisfied. So 60%, and I would rate myself, I did not take the survey, but I will add my 2 cents in. I would say that I've been satisfied with the amount of money I've made off of it. I'm not going to complain. So a little over, you know, maybe 3 out of 5, 60% or so of people were satisfied with the amount of money I made. And obviously that's a pretty subjective question, because that is built in part off the idea of, like, well, how much do you think your time was worth and how much were you expecting? But overall, people are generally happy with the amount of money that they've made. People are also overall at about the same rate, or if not a little bit more, satisfied with the overall terms of the program. That is, what are the limitations Modiphius puts on creators? You know, we can't use any kind of AI-generated anything. Images obviously aren't copyrightable. And they don't want anyone to use AI-generated text. I'm totally fine with that because it reads so poorly anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I have 2 issues along their terms.
Yeah.
One, the AI art, I know there are people who properly kick off about this. You know, you go on the, we've done this episode recently.
Yeah.
Okay. There are people that absolutely hate the idea of AI art because they're very much of a case that, you know, if you're putting AI art in, you didn't pay an artist. So you've hit an artist.
And the
there
AI is stealing from artists.
The AI is stealing from artists in the first place. So you're screwing them twice. I am still going to, you know, maintain on something like this where, you know, like, let's take my thing. So the thing I did for Modiphius has sold 14 copies.
Woo.
And I'm only selling for like sort of 50 cents a thing. So I've made $7 out of that. Yeah. Well, no, it's made $7. I've made $3.86 out of that. Okay, yeah. That's all I've made on that. If I had spent any kind of money, in fact, that will have made me a loss, because I have spent money to make that, not including my time. Because in it, it has art that I did in Daz 3D, where the software is free, but all the models and all of the backgrounds cost money.
Okay.
So I have made a loss on that product. Now, if I had used completely AI art on it, it would be pure profit. But it would still be my writing. Okay. So, you know, if I was making a fortune, then yes, I should pay for art. But I'm not making a fortune. And something with art looks better than something without. And it's the kind of thing I wish I had the option to go, here's a non-AI art version.
Yeah.
And here's an AI art version, and let people choose.
Yeah.
They can pay for whichever one they want. It'd be interesting to see how that would work. But I'd like the option. I don't have the option. The other thing I still don't like is, and to be fair, it's not Modiphius' fault, because this is just like legal law. I don't like the idea that that rules are not copyrightable.
Right.
I don't like
the idea. Yeah, there's nothing you and I can do about that.
No, I don't like that. But actually, that isn't a Modiphius thing. It's pretty much said somewhere you cannot copyright game mechanics.
Yeah.
But it bugs me that if I wrote a super system, there is nothing stopping someone else taking my super system, wholesale copy and pasting the entire thing, putting it into their own thing, but with some nicer graphics, and saying that's their work.
But that is. That's parallel to and related to, but there's no causal relationship. Modiphius can't do anything about that. Now, there are certain things about game systems that, like, if there are aspects of your system, aspects of your story, your own IP that are so tightly integrated in or represented in the system, those things can be copyrighted and or trademarked, but that's a whole nother issue. Now, Modiphius has said, and this is a piece on the game system thing. Game systems, obviously, we know aren't copyrightable. And Modiphius has said that they, as part of this program, any game, any mechanical innovation that you come up with for 2D20 becomes community property. Now, I remember there was some tooth grinding over this when it first came out. I remember you and I talked about it. And now that I better understand the fact that a game system, the system all by itself, cannot be copyrighted, I recognize that Modiphius making that statement is them just stating, hey, we have the right to, we have the legal right to do this because all of everyone has the legal right to do this. So I'm not going to complain about like that. Some of the things that I've created in Aris, for example, some of the mechanical, like the magic spell, the spell creation system, like I recognize that I actually can't, I can't copyright that anyway. So Modiphius coming out and saying, hey, essentially, if we decide to incorporate some of that elsewhere in our stuff, they're allowed to do that. I actually think it's just a courtesy and a reminder that they come out and say that. But anyway, so yeah, most people are satisfied with that. Now, folks did say when it comes to the some of the requirements or the standards, the limitations rather, the fact that Modiphius is not allowing print on demand there has been pushback against that. I mean, print on demand, it's tough. Like, I don't know, you know, is that something that any creator on DriveThru can just choose to offer? And then
you can't choose to offer it. You have to make sure that your documents are formatted in a way. Okay. But once they are formatted in a way, if you were selling stuff, like it's like you weren't going through a community program. Yeah. If you format stuff in the right way, then DriveThru will offer.
Okay.
Print on demand for it.
Okay.
You know, you can see print on demand stuff on a DM's Guild.
Yep.
But it's for very little stuff. So I suspect it's only for certain things.
Yeah. My point is, I don't know if DriveThru has, aside from a formatting requirement, because they don't want to, and that makes sense. Like, because if I ordered something print on demand through DriveThru, and it showed up to me and it's all jacked up looking and the margins are a mess and things like that, I'm going to blame DriveThru as well as the, or, you know, if I'm not thinking, I would blame DriveThru as much as I would blame the creator. And so by DriveThru just saying, listen, your stuff has to be properly formatted so that if we print it per our way of printing, it's going to turn out the way you say it's supposed to look. I don't blame them for that. Do you know if DriveThru has any other requirements for offering print on demand? Like, is there a sale minimum, or is that just anything that you can offer that?
I don't know, because a lot of the stuff I've done print on demand tends to have been things where like it was a Kickstarter, and then like when the thing comes out on PDF, then they give you a voucher. So they're basically, what they're doing is like, look, you've backed the PDF. We will give you a voucher to get the book at cost.
Okay.
I mean, my copy of Exalted Third Edition, which bear in mind, that's like a 600 page thing.
Yeah.
That's print on demand.
Okay. So,
but I've had other things as well, you know, smaller things. So I honestly don't know. I don't think there is a sales thing. I think it is more along the lines of, if you are prepared to put the work in to do the correct formatting. And then I also think there's some back and forth, because I think what you need to do is, you basically have to send your print thing to them. And I think then they have to send it back to you, and you have to check you're happy with it. And then, so I don't think it's as straightforward as going, here's the file, do print on demand. I think they insist, I'm guessing, I have
hey,
no
folks,
idea.
Folks, listen, if you're listening to this or watching, and you are familiar with print on demand as a creator from DriveThru for something that, you know, you're allowed to do print on demand, let us know. Because I have no experience with it. I have no experience with DriveThru outside of the World Builders program. You've got experience with it through DM's Guild as well. But Yeah, if you know, let us know. Because, but, honestly, but that was the only thing where people were saying like that they wish they could do that, and I don't blame them actually.
I know people like stuff in print, but print on demand through drive-through is very expensive, even for things that are relatively small. You pay a lot more money than if you took it yourself to like a printer and printed it yourself, or just photocopied it, and then, you know, if you just printed it yourself on a printer and got it bound or something. You know, the stuff you get is decent-ish, but it's not cheap. I guess giving people the option, but maybe there's a page minimum.
I'm not gonna go ahead and say, well, that's no good. If someone wants to pay it, let them. So
yeah.
The next thing I asked was, have creators been satisfied with the overall support that Modiphius has given us? Now, where I draw overall support from is that when the World Builders program was launched, Modiphius made some explicit and some implied promises about what they were going to do in response to creators. And about a year ago, they held a live event where Chris Birch came on and did a Q&A for about an hour. Actually, it was really good, with anyone who was interested. And that's recorded. You can find that out there. And then said that there were going to be additional things like that on a regular basis, that there would be live events online for creators and would-be creators. He talked up the idea that, you know, he wants people to be able to become their own producers. You know, he joked about, hey, you know, we'd love for you to become our competition. Like, you know, a rising tide floats all boats. People making great new games, you know, that's good for everybody. And then also, there have been a couple of occasions where World Builder products have been mentioned by Modiphius, either online or by email. So that's that. When I talk about support, that's what I'm talking about. It's split evenly. Most people, it's split evenly actually between no, we're not satisfied, and it's good enough. So it's lukewarm at best. And the response, though, that I got for, you know, hey, would you like to provide some additional detail about that? The response that I got was that there's a strong sense that Modiphius made some, frankly, promises about these, like, continuing live events that they've not done. So there's a little bit of frustration, actually probably a combination of frustration and what sounds like disappointment, more disappointment, actually, in a what is seen as a lack of follow-through. That Modiphius made explicit statements about things they were going to do that they have not done at all. The other thing also that was brought up, and I will echo this, I'll own this myself, is that, you know, there's the World Builders program, but then there's also the possibility of a commercial license. That is, you write a 2D20 based game and you contact Modiphius and you say, hey, would you be interested in partnering with me or buying this from me or whatever to make this an official 2D20 game? And that obviously would dramatically change the possibilities of what gets public, you know, all that stuff. And then there's also the Via Modiphius program, which is where you could, you know, they sell plenty of games that aren't 2D20 that are through other creators. So there are these two other avenues for getting, call us like hobby level or amateur level creators who want to step up over that line. And there is an email address to contact Modiphius about the commercial program. And several of us have reached out to them several times over the last several months, and nobody has gotten a response. So, and this is where, for me, this is where it steps from a disappointment, like, hey, I don't expect Modiphius to do the business of promoting my product. I don't. But there were promises made about how they were going to go about supporting the growth of this community that they've not followed through on. And that's disappointing. I will admit a level of frustration. Like, don't tell me that I can contact you and ask an explicit question and then you just ignore me. And it's not just me. It's everybody that I've asked who has contacted, everyone who said, yeah, I did contact the commercial license thing. I've done so a few times. I have not even gotten a response. So whether or not, I mean, you know how sometimes you have a great idea within an organization and then like the next day you're like, oh shit, we need to detail someone to do that. And that becomes part of staff time, which becomes billable. And then it doesn't happen. And so the great idea just flounders because it never gets put on someone's list. Or maybe that person leaves and they don't transfer that email account to somebody else and say, hey, you've also got to answer these emails, run them up the flagpole if you get them. If they don't like my game, that's fine. But don't say you're going to respond and then ignore people. That's not cool.
This is the main one I'll play devil's advocate. The first thing is you hadn't told me about the email. So I'll answer that first before I play devil's advocate with the other stuff. Yeah, it's not ideal that they've said that, you know, if you want to do something bigger and more important and fancier, email us this, and then they haven't got back to them. Yeah. That's a bit annoying. Okay, because that's actually, you know, that's the thing. You want to go and do a bit more, you want to go to the next level, and you're not getting any response, then how are you possibly meant to do anything?
Right.
That's annoying. But to play devil's advocate on the other one, here's a really simple response. They ain't making any money out of this. There is no point in them doing it.
Yeah.
People bugged them about the SRD for years and years. And for years, they didn't do it. And you could tell why, because the one we've ended up with is super detailed. Most SRDs are very basic. And the one we got for 2D20 is not. It has lots of extra rules.
It's great.
It has lots of detail. It's very well formatted. You can take bits out of it very easily. You know, it's written in a way that is very easy to use if you want to take bits out. It's a very good SRD. Essentially, if you imagine sort of Nathan, is it Nathan did that? Yeah. That's cost, you know, that's a lot of his time has gone into that. I would be surprised if they have even made that money back. Now, I don't know how much money everyone's made, but bearing in mind that Aris is still second after a year, it's still the second biggest selling. And I have a vague idea of what you've made on it. Yeah. My thing isn't even the bottom thing. Like I said, I've made, it sold for $7. Remember, out of everything everyone has made on World Builders Program, they make 20%. They make Correct. Less than us. They make less than half of what the creator. Now, bear in mind, yeah. That's free money for them because they didn't do anything. I wouldn't actually be surprised if they haven't even covered the time that Nathan Could put be. Into writing the SRD. And if they had someone whose job it was to look after the World Builders Program, they would be making a loss on that job.
Could be.
100%. Because if you imagine, you know, I mean, I'm talking, you know, you're in the hundreds. So some of these other top ones here will be in the hundreds of dollars that they've made. Now, between all of that, you might be maybe in a year, maybe $10,000. But they're making less than that. So if yeah. they're making if they've made $5,000 out of the World Builders Program in a year,
no, but they haven't not, though because they're getting 20%. So they, I mean, no, if $10,000 in revenue, they've made $2,000. You're right.
Yeah. Now, so
let me play angel's advocate to your devil's advocate. How's that? I'll pop up on the right shoulder. It is possible that the SRD is a form of an internal system Bible mm-hmm. that exists that, I mean, given that Nathan Dowdle's, he's the system master. Like it sounds to me like he's the guy who is tasked with, like he's the guy with the key box yeah. for the 2D20 system. And so it serves as the nexus of all the different games. It's what, you know, their ideas flow in and out of that and through that to other games. But you're right, and we're making guesses here, so I don't know, you know, how much of the company's time did they put toward preparing this thing, and so that's on the front end. How much have they made back from that, and how much do they put in on a regular basis, whatever that regular basis is, to monitor or manage it? All those things cost money. You know, I get that. And we know that, you know, the margins in the game industry, in the role-playing game industry are small, and that unless you are WotC, you are small. And so I get that. I am not going to bemoan any company for working honestly to turn a profit, to employ people and produce things that people want. I'm not going to bemoan them at all. So I agree. I get it. the question then is, you know, what was the front end investment and what has been the return? Now, the tough thing is, I mean, how many products are up there in total?
Yeah, and I think that's the second bit I would go into is that if this was hugely successful,
yeah,
if this was hugely successful, I think they would be doing more. There are 34 products on the thing,
and that includes like character sheets,
yeah,
and reformats of the SRD itself.
Yeah. I mean, and like you there's know, things like me there. Where it was a relatively low effort thing, and you know, quick starts, and so you know, that's
everything.
That's you know, there's not a lot. And if I pick, let's pick someone else. So Onyx Path Publishing, that's the people who do all the ex-White Wolf stuff. So you know, Vampire and Scion and
how many things?
Exalted. Well, I'm in the 50s, 70s. I'm still going. You know, so you're talking hundreds.
Yeah.
Now that's for a system that is. You expect that as a system that is similar. You know, this is a system, people don't talk about this. It's not a big system. It's Exalted, it's Scion, it's the various Trinity
games. It's not 5e.
It's not 5e, but I'm way, way into the hundreds. If I go to Pinnacle, so that's Savage World, and I look at their community content. Oh.
As you're looking at this, let me say this. I think that there's a chicken and the egg kind of relationship here. On the one hand, you could say, well, I understand. You know, Modiphius is not, they do not seem to be pouring resources or effort into growing this program because the response has been, in terms of things produced by creators, amateur creators, it has been, you know, kind of a flop, it almost seems like to me. Like there's virtually nothing there. So on the one hand, and I'm not going to say to Modiphius, like, well, you know, as you said, like, you know, you need to spend your marketing budget to promote my game so you can get a 20% cut of it. Like, that's silly. On the other hand, you could say, well, I wonder if there'd be a greater response if there was, you know, if there was more more promotion of it. Frankly, I actually think it's probably the former. 2D20 is a terrific system, but it is such a minor player.
Yeah.
And in terms of sales, that, you know, their focus, I think probably rightfully, is on selling the stuff that they have control over and spending their money marketing those things. So that I get that. That makes sense. That's one of those hard truths.
I don't really see what else they can be doing. I mean, you know, it exists. If you go on to Drive-Thru, the first thing is the 2D20 world builds plan. That's the first little icon for all of their different stuff. It's right there, hottest community titles. So it is there front and center. You know, their newsletter does occasionally have stuff that people have written on it. I think they do as much as, if not more than any other business that uses these community titles.
Yeah, it's not like WotC is saying, hey, here's this new adventure that or you know, whatever, 5e powered something that somebody put out. They ignore it. They just take the money.
I think the biggest problem is that the vast majority of people who play 2D, I know, you know, there was a bunch of us that were asking for the 2D20 SRD and the 2D20 community. But the reality is it turns out that is a small handful of very hardcore 2D20 fanboys that were really into that.
Yeah.
When you look at what for 2D20, the vast majority of stuff that sells for 2D20 are licensed things. You know, you go through the biggest things, it goes Fallout, Dune, Star Trek, Fallout, Dune, Fallout, Dune, then Act and Cthulhu, and then we're back to Fallout, Dune, Star Trek. Those are those big games. They're big games
and
licensed games.
Of those, the only one that a world builders content creator can write things for is Octane Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Because the rest of them are all, that's another thing we didn't mention, is that, you know, all of these are, all of the licensed program are properties that we can't do. Like, I can't write something for Star Trek. I can't write something for Dune. Yeah. I've written stuff for Octane Cthulhu and sold some of it, but I can't touch those other properties. And that's just, you know, that's just part of a licensing agreement that they have. And that makes sense. So that's tough. That serves as like a hard ceiling. Whereas, you know, WotC, you go ahead and publish something on DM's Guild for 5e, it's like they are D&D. They're not asking anyone for permission for D&D. They're not working under a licensed agreement for, like, you can't do weird crap with Star Trek. So yeah,
that, not only that, you are actively told you can do stuff in their world. If I want to write stuff in the Forgotten Realms, and I think Ravenloft and probably Spelljammer and the ones they've done, you can. I think you can't touch their magic worlds.
Yeah.
You can play and you can actually write stuff in D&D settings. So if you want to put stuff in an existing set, you can.
Yep.
You can't do that in 2D20. So it is people writing essentially their own settings, and you know, the handful of people, including yourself, that has done Act and Cthulhu stuff. I don't think it's a huge surprise that some of those Act and Cthulhu things are near the top of the hottest community titles things, presumably because you know those people in it. But
well, so I think it's also like looking at your only child and saying you're my favorite child. You know, I mean, if there's only like three or four things and you're at the top of the heap, you know, it says something, but it doesn't say other things.
I don't really think there's a lot in terms of promotion. I don't think there's a lot to do. Now, they definitely could do more in terms of answering people who are emailing them stuff. And maybe there's more they could do is suggesting things or talking out the community and ask people what they want. But by the same thing, you know, we have this thing here where we talk to people and we could be on our Discord saying, what do people want people to do? There is a 2D20, you know, they do have a Discord and they do have forums where people do talk about stuff and people could be putting up there. What would people actually like to see in 2D20? I think part of the thing in 2D20 is that a lot of people went away and wrote things that they were interested in and then threw it up there. And then, you know, people are like, well, that's great, but I'm not in, you know, when I look at the stuff that's up there, most of it's like, well, I'm not bothered about this stuff.
Right.
And so that might be part of the problem.
It's tough. I think that there are a couple of headwinds that are working against this. I think the biggest one is that for all of 2D20's greatness as a system, it's a terrific system and super flexible too. For all of that, it is an extreme minor player, you know, among the systems that people, you know, I still run into people all the time who have never, ever heard of it. But then, of course, unfortunately, so many gamers out there now, they're not gamers, they're D&D players.
100%, yeah.
They know nothing beyond that.
No.
And so I think that's a major headwind that only growth in popularity of the system as a whole would draw more people. Related to that also is I think that one of the great strengths of Modiphius in using this system is pairing it well with really cool licensed properties.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that there are people far more people is my guess are playing Star Trek Adventures because they want to play Star Trek. And when they play it, they go, wow, this system, maybe they say this system does a nice job. They're not being like, oh man, I'm so glad Star Trek has 2D20 powering it. Now I can play it.
No, I think that's the one thing that
they're there for the property, not the system. Yeah. That the system works so well with it is terrific, but that's not the draw.
No, I think the one thing Modiphius that could do to help us, not wouldn't be advertising world builds, bro, would be pushing 2D20.
Yeah.
Like
I'm sure they are.
No, I don't think they do. I mean, I'm on the splash page for Drive Through, and you've got a massive advert there for Fallout, the role-playing game, Welcome to the Wasteland, and three different books. And nowhere on that can I see 2D20. You know, two of the top 10 games on Drive Through at the moment are 2D20 games. We have the Fallout role-playing games, Wanderer's Guide.
But again, if you
you have to look through it. There's the little thing that says the rule system is 2D20. In all of their blurb, you know, that it doesn't mention 2D20. If you go onto the Fallout role-playing game core book, again, there's one little thing that utilizes the 2D20 system. There isn't they could easily be pushing, oh, if you like this, well, they can't drive through. It's a bit weird how the advertising works and that.
Yeah.
They're not really pushing the idea that there are, you know, if you like this system, here's some other systems that use this.
Good point.
Thing. They are doing exactly what you said. They rely on those IP. They have these really good IPs they've bought. And then they use that to advertise the things within the IP. They're not great at cross promoting. They're not saying, hey, look, if you like Dune, the system that uses Dune also is the system in these other things.
Yeah.
So
and
it's
you know
very
what?
Much
they could
they
even
push the IP, not the system.
That's an interesting, that's interesting. Although I think most people come to games for the story. They come to games for the setting.
Oh, yeah.
But I think providing that as a reminder, or bringing that up to potentially help some folks bridge Oh, yeah, I really like this system. Hey, it powers this other game and does a terrific job of it. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll check that out. So that if that was floating around in the ether, that might be helpful. But I think you're right. If 2D20 and Modiphius, 2D20 as a system and Modiphius as a publisher were a bigger player, that would be good for anyone doing 2D20 stuff because but there will always be, I'm assuming, there will always be that hard ceiling on licensed properties. Because there's no way, I just can't imagine any, there's no way that Modiphius is going to be allowed to allow us to write Star Trek Adventures stuff.
I
And
mean,
I understand that.
to do it, it would have to be that anything we couldn't self-publish it through drive-through. It would have to be put on there. You would have to flag Modiphius. They would then have to read through it all. They would then have to send it to the license
Oh,
holder. They
it'd
would
be a
have to
nightmare.
read through it all. And then eventually, and then you would, so no, it's just not feasible.
Yeah, it's not going to
But
work.
that's the process that would have to happen.
Yeah,
It
I
would be a
agree.
nightmare. So yeah, it's just easier to say no.
Yeah, it's so back to the whole thing with the headwinds. It's tough. I think that I'm really glad that they put the SRD out. You and I have beat that horse a number of times about how good it is. I'm really happy that they put out the World Builders program and created this avenue for people to exercise their creativity and use it with some supports in that you, the creator, don't have to create a system. There are things that you can tweak it. That's different. Modify is a heck of a lot easier than build whole cloth. And like you just pointed out, the money is it's pretty much industry standard. I am not going to bemoan a company for not, I mean, but 50%. That's
Well, so now we're back on the money. Let's bring up some other things. So if 50% is standard for community content, using, like you said, using an existing system, pretty much you release something on drive-through through a community content
You're going to
program,
make half.
you make half. If you release something digitally, it's more complicated. It's not digitally. I'm just looking at, I'm getting this off the website. If you release something digitally on drive-through, they take either 30%. If you're exclusive to drive through, or they take 35% if you're not. So
Okay.
if you say, I'm going to look, I can't give you an exclusive, I want to put this stuff in other places,
They're going to take
you
a
only
little over
get
a third.
65%. So you actually only make a little bit more than you do on through a community thing. And you have to have written the system yourself as well.
Yes.
You also then don't have the advantage of, if we put something on Modiphius, it's going to bam straight appear there.
Right.
We do, they're not doing nothing. It goes onto
Otherwise,
their
yeah, you're just
website.
throwing
People
you're
see it.
throwing a pebble into a pond and hoping someone reaches down into the bottom and grabs it.
However, there is another, this is why I said this, why it comes in industry. The other, do you know the other main place you would sell role playing PDFs if it wasn't on drive through?
I have no idea.
So the other main place that a lot of things use is a place called itch.io in my ideas. So, which isn't just for role-playing games. It also has, like, people making little computer games and stuff. But it's a games website.
Okay.
Now, I went there just while we were having this conversation. So what is their percentage? So their percentage used to be, I think it used to be they took 15%. Now they've changed it to 10. You don't even have to do that. When you put something on itch.io, you have a slider between 0 to 100 of how much they take. So if you want to give them nothing, you can give them nothing. They said their standard is 10, but even that standard of 10%
Interesting.
would be massive compared to drive-through. Now, part of the problem with this is that drive-through is massive compared to
Yeah.
itch. And the itch website is terrible. Like, if you go to the itch
I'm there
website,
now.
it doesn't even, you can't even tell that it does role-playing games. It looks like it's all for, it
You
looks
have to
like it's all
click, I
non.
looked over on the left-hand side, you have to click on physical games
I can't even see where
if
it
you're looking
says
for
that.
physical games.
Where does it say that? Because I'm looking, I know there is stuff there, but I can't see where it is. I don't have physical.
You don't know how to work it, obviously.
No,
If you look
I'm
on the
close.
left-hand side when you're at itch.io, you have popular tags, and beneath that you have browse, and you have physical games as one of those. But I guess it doesn't have to be. You could be buying a PDF. I'm going to look into this.
But I've seen stuff. There is some really good stuff up on there. So a lot of stuff for Lancer, which is a very popular game, is on there. There was a whole bunch of games. to do. I can't remember what it was called. It was like Lumen, something like that.
Point is, your point is that there are other places where you could sell your own game creations. Although in this case, this would not be any, you know, unless there's a community license that let you sell stuff elsewhere. This is not something that you wouldn't be able to use like 2D20 here. So like, for example, I have kicked around the idea of creating my own system for Eris, and this so I could put it here, and whatever sales I got, I would get a greater share.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously then I would lack the supports. I would lack the whatever degree of brand identification 2D20 brings the system, brings my game. You lose those things. That all makes sense.
But I think that's an interesting question. That's kind of, you know, I mean, I guess unless there's, were there any other survey questions? Because otherwise that's why.
No, that's it. That's it. I didn't want to make
so it. I think that's where it raises an interesting thing. And that's a conversation we've had off the podcast. And now we're having it on the podcast.
Yes.
This idea of if we were going to, we'll take the Aris thing and then we'll spin it off onto another thing. You know, you could carry on writing stuff for Aris, but you're only getting 50% of that. And that's actually 50% of a relatively small pool.
Yes.
Because nobody, you know, 2D20 isn't big enough. You know, would you be better off writing your, let's ignore the time commitment.
Totally.
Obviously time commitment, no.
Let's just, hey, we're dealing with a bunch of fantasy made up stuff in role-playing games anyway. So why don't we just stay there?
Okay. So, you know, if you were going to write your own system for it, would that be better? And you're stuck in this thing then, well, you know, yes, it would take you time. So let's forget that, because that's a given.
But if I were to do that, would using a site like itch.io be a better?
Exactly. So you would keep a lot more of your own of the money. You could choose to, you know, keep, you know, 90% of what its sales it makes, you would keep. So you'd get a much bigger slice of that pie, but the pie is on a website that a lot less people are even visiting.
Good point.
You could put it on drive-through as well. I mean, what I would do is I would put it on itch, but I would also put it on drive-through, and then on drive-through, I would probably mark the price up on drive if you could.
Yeah.
Or I would put it non-exclusive, so you might make some sales on drive-through, and hopefully people would go onto itch, and you'd make more sales.
Right.
But then you have to advertise, and then this is where you get stuck in the same thing. I mean, I had this the other day where I'd asked. I was thinking about either carrying on the blog, but talking more about Warhammer or doing a podcast, like just by myself, just doing a podcast, just about Warhammer minis. Cause I couldn't find any short form podcast, like 30 minutes to an hour long podcast on Warhammer. And I asked someone like, look, I've done this podcast. I did a half hour episode just by myself for the weekend. And I asked someone, there's loads of places. I said, well, where can I advertise this? Because I said, in every Facebook group and every Reddit group I look, it says no self-promotion. Yeah. And someone, I said, like, literally, people are like, oh, well, you know, word of mouth or here's somewhere you can go into this Discord. And I had someone reply back to me, said, you can pay for advertising. And I was like, why would I pay for advertising for a blog or a podcast, which doesn't make me any money?
But see here, but there again is
throwing money away.
Now, I could tell you this. This is a little bit of an aside on from like my professional side, that I deal with things where we deal with marketing and advertising stuff, and it's hard because you have to spend money to make money, and so there's the question of like, how good do you think your stuff is? How much are you willing to risk? Or how much effort are you going to put in on your own to learn how to do, like, for example, search engine optimization and social media marketing strategies and tactics and things like that? If you don't know those things already, how much time, effort, and money, perhaps, are you going to put into learning those things so that then you can put in time, effort, and potentially money to promote your stuff? And again, I don't expect anyone to do that for me. Anyway, I'm happy. The only thing that I wish with the World Builders program that they offered is print on demand. Print on demand would be terrific, and I'm perfectly happy to live with the requirements of figuring out formatting the thing correctly so it doesn't look like crap. I'm totally down with that. And then the rates, I'm fine with that too because of what I don't have to do. The one thing that I'm annoyed about is this commercial license, and I am disappointed. That's a different reaction. I'm annoyed that people are emailing them after they've said email us, and they are not responding. I'm not going to say they're ignoring, because that's intent. They are not responding. I am going to say also that I'm disappointed that they made explicit promises about events like live streams and things like that that they have not followed through on. Totally. And it would, even if they decide, hey, listen, we're not going to follow through on this. Like, if it's a staff time and a money thing, I understand that. I don't live in a fantasy world. I play in one. If they would have just made an announcement and said, hey, listen, we really believe that we were going to have the margin to do this on a regular basis, and now we just don't have the staff time to do it, and so we're going to try, but we're not. I can handle a message like that. I'm sure there's some trolls out there who can't, but don't say you're going to do something and then just don't.
Yeah.
You know, so that's disappointment on my part. I will continue publishing in it. I will continue kicking around the idea of writing my own system for Aris. And then I'm going to look into this itch.io thing, because if I do that, maybe I'll put it there.
Yeah. See, I don't think I have the time or the inclination, to be honest.
I think it's more the inclination.
Know, yeah. I wish I had the time and inclination to sit down and write a bunch of stuff. But there is a huge punch up part of me that goes, actually, if I was going to do something, I could do it in 2D20, but the amount of messing around I have to do to tweak 2D20 to maybe what I want to do, maybe I just write my own system from scratch, because then I put it on itch and I can get a much bigger cut of it. You know, will I make less money from that? Well, I'd probably make very, very little money from drive through you through the world building program anyway. So at least this, it's, you know, it's entirely my thing. I mean, you can do weird things on itch. Like you see a lot of people where they almost do it like a Kickstarter, where they maybe throw up like a rule, like a free version or a cheap version of the rules. And then you do like not quite a Kickstarter, but you can do a goal where you can go, right, well, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And essentially I'll do it when it gets that. So then when people fund, you know, people go, yeah, I'll give you the money to it. So then you know that people are interested up front. You get them, and then you go and finish it. So you'll see things where people have done it like that, where they've done, you know, they've done the basics. They've done like a quick start with a really short thing, you know, like you did for Aris, and then do a, you know, essentially it's a crowdfunder as well. So because it's got that built in, so you can do that as part of it.
Yep.
And then as you do stuff, you release it to people. You have cool things like community copies, which is an idea I love, where essentially people will throw, you know, people who have got, I don't know, extra money or generous will support the product. And then people who haven't got the money can basically get a purchase for free, which is
like a pay it forward kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. I don't really, there's lots of little things. Like, I've never really looked into it in detail because there's the odd game that pops. I search and it goes, look at this game. You go on Drive and go, it's not there. And they go, oh no, it's on itch. And you go on itch and find it. And sometimes it's a bit weird to navigate around, but there are some cool ideas. It's like, it's got a much more kind of, you know, modern, open, sourcey type vibe to it.
So how do we want to wrap this up? I think overall, the people who have produced multiple things are at least reasonably happy. And I think that the foundation of the program, and I say this for myself, and I say this based on the survey results, the foundation of the program is solid, and people are generally happy with it. There are a couple of issues at the margins that people are less happy with, but again, back to that whole idea of headwinds, and we have to understand that a company is out there to try to make money, you know, that we should not fault them for not, you know, dancing to the tune that we want. That's my take on it. I'm going to continue publishing stuff in it, but like I said, if I create my own system, I will find other ways, obviously, because it won't be under 2D20. But I'll find other places and see what happens in terms of sales.
I'm really glad that I'm super happy they did the SRD. You know, we moaned about it. We asked for it for ages and they gave us it. I was always more into having an SRD. So if I wanted to do my own homebrew things, I had it rather than producing stuff.
Gotcha.
That was always my main thing. I liked the idea of producing stuff, but like I've never written anything particularly big for anything because I just haven't had the time commitment to do it. I'm glad that they did the World Builder program because, you know, it's given people the opportunity to put their stuff out there. It would be nicer if they were kind of could be a bit more upfront and go, look, we haven't got the time to do this. I'm just gutted it hasn't been a success, but I don't think that's anyone's fault. It's not the fault that, you know, people have created stuff and put it up there.
Yeah.
And Modiphius have done, you know, some towards advertising that. Sure. The reality is that after a year, it hasn't been a success, but it's not, you know, it's one of those things that people have put stuff up there and then they've realized that there isn't, there's simply, I don't think the demand is there. There is no demand.
And to address that, I have spoken in some of the other creators have been kind enough to share their numbers with me. And there are folks who have gotten a lot of downloads when they switch it to pay what you want. And so they're making virtually nothing off of the downloads, because the people, and this is just a symptom of, I mean, the symptom of online stuff. I think people are quietly, they assert that, well, everything online must be free. And so, that's, I'm bummed. I wish that it had taken off, or, you know, would take off. Still wish that.
I know. I think the reality is that 2D20 isn't, it's like a niche of a niche of a niche. You know, the World Builders Program, it's, you know, 2D20 is a niche system. And as much as we think of it as a 2D20 as a big system, I feel like it isn't.
Wait, are you implying that you and I and other folks who are like us are outliers? Or like weirdos? Well,
yeah, because I kind of feel like it's what you said earlier, that there are people that just play Star Trek. And there are people that maybe just play Dune, or just play, you know, Fallout. There are people that play those properties and they have no interest at all in 2D20 as a system.
The system would have to be dreadful for them to go away from it. Like the production quality of the Star Trek Adventures books is excellent. The content in them, the story fluff is excellent. How Star Trek-y it feels, it's terrific. And so my guess is the vast majority of people playing Star Trek Adventures aren't thinking about the system at all. They're thinking about Star Trek. And there could be marginal changes in how the system works, unless the system really just, like, unless it was like 5e. Like, you're a 10th level Captain Kirk, and you're like, that just doesn't make any freaking sense.
Think of how many people play 5e, and rather than going to other role-playing games, just stick with 5e. You know, there will be people going, let's play Star Trek and Star Wars in 5e. Well, there's another system that will do that better, but they like 5e. That's going to be the same for 2D20. There are people that are perfectly happy playing Star Trek, and they're not interested in,
they don't view the system as a bridge to experience other stories and genres and properties. They're just happy where they are. So what you're saying essentially in closing here is that we're the weirdos.
Yeah, we are like a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche. So, you know.
And we can't get caught up in the frustration of saying, why isn't everyone see it my way? Because,
if you've got a role-playing product and you want it to sell, you have to make it a 5e product. And for the next month,
in terms
of
selling to a very broad, having the likelihood of selling to a broad audience, you're absolutely right.
And if that's what you're in, you know, if you want to make something because you love the system, then you have to accept that it's not going to sell a lot because people aren't that bothered about 2D20.
You're not, unless something changes, but as the way things are right now, that's the way it is.
But at the end, I think actually it's just such a small audience. Yeah.
And that really, when you back away from it, what the World Builders Program does enable is that small audience to maybe meet with other people in that small audience on a level playing ground in terms of here's this common system reference. I'll say one last thing. If you are a Modiphius person, that is, you're working for Modiphius, the only thing I'm asking for you is to respond to your emails, please. We would appreciate that. I'm serious. I think that's fair. I don't need live streams. Those would have been nice, but answer your emails.
There we go.
All right. Cool. I'm going to go. I'll just keep putting some more work into Eris and finishing the second, the remastered version.
There we go. Don't forget to like, subscribe.
Uh-huh.
Leave a comment. Like, subscribe,
join the conversation. We have to point down. We're pointing down.
Join the Discord. All that stuff.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Fluff and Crunch. You can join our Discord, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, all through the links in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a great day. We look forward to talking with you.